All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Can you see it? Did you know?
Checked, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a bank pass for Besser. In with a shot, he scores!
A moment's notice. Adams leaves.
To the line, Hughes, Jones!
Yes, existence. Take you to listen.
First career NHL goal. Quinn Hughes makes it 1-0.
You're listening to Canucks Conversation.
Quinn Hughes beat reporter here. Like, I don't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted him in and down Wednesday.
Wow. We should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What I'll have. Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores!
Don't waste all the good stuff on the off air. Let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation, brought to you by the great folks over at Zephyr Epic. You can use promo code HockeySeason, capital H, capital S, all one word, HockeySeason. That will get you $5 off your order at ZephyrEpic.com. That is Z-E-P-H-Y-R, Epic. Check them out, all platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, what have you. They've got you covered for all of your trading card needs. Free shipping Canada-wide on any order over $50. My name is Dave Quadrelli. I'm joined, as always, by the man who built the place, Chris Faber, back where he belongs. And our technical producer, as always, is Alex Szilard. Chris, I guess the first thing on everybody's mind is, how are you feeling, bud?
Yeah, not great. Not feeling very good today, but I am good enough to do the show today, I hope. I've been very sick. Tested positive for COVID on Sunday. So I've had COVID for a few days here. It's been okay. Like I am definitely experiencing the, like walking around and stuff is like, it shouldn't wear on you. Like it shouldn't hit you as hard as it has, but, even like standing up and walking around for 5-10 minutes or so, it's been tough. So yeah, we're doing okay. I think, I hope we're on the mend here. But you've done an excellent job. You've done an excellent job with the solo show. But before we get to that, Alex, can we go back to the view of the city? So, like, this would have been so nice to get outside and enjoy. Vancouver is just beautiful today. Like, this is the type of day where when people come to visit me, we always go up to the roof of my building and, like, I, you know, show them the mountains and all the city. Today is the perfect day. Like, there's a little bit of snow up on the tips of the mountains. Vancouver, it's a beautiful day today. I don't think we can, you know, you can't make any complaints about the day, but I guess I can because I literally can't go outside. I'm stuck in my apartment. But your solo shows, Quads, you've done an excellent job, man. I really appreciate you being able to carry the show and couldn't, you know, COVID couldn't have come at a worse time as we launch here on the Canucks Army YouTube page, which has been awesome. I've been in the chat for a couple days here, and it's been great to see like a lot of the same names be able to migrate over here to the Canucks Army account. So that's all awesome stuff. It's great to see some new names as well popping up here. But good job by you making the transition as smooth as possible. And your solo episodes, it's good because we don't have to do any goalie talk for the rest of the week. You've absolutely smashed the quota in the first two episodes here. And you did it all without Woodley too. So that's been, you know, pretty impressive. And yeah, good job by you carrying the show the last couple days. So I got my tea, I got my Kleenex. I've been drinking a ton of water. You know, it's good. We're going to be good. We'll be fine on the end here. But you heard me the last couple days because I talked to you. I was even on the call before we started going, what was it, 2 days ago on the show? And yeah, I was not going to make it through. I hung out for the whole episode and all that stuff. But yeah, feeling better. We'll get better here.
When you said I got my tea, I was waiting for you to say, and I got my Monster Energy drink as well. I got this one. This is the flavor today. But I'm glad you're not drinking those while you're on the mend. And in all seriousness, thank you for the kind words. And hopefully you get better soon because it's nice to have you back. I'm ready to keep talking prospects because I don't know if you've heard, Chris, but I'm the prospect guy around here now. So we'll see how my prospect update goes because I'm reading the ticker now because you were back planning the show, which is a lot of work, but you were back planning the show and I see NCAA update at the bottom and hey, I don't have an NCAA update, so that's going to have to come from you. But in all seriousness, let's get to it, Chris. The Canucks and their winning ways. I'll get you up to speed. So the Canucks are on a 5-game winning streak now. Guillaume Brisebois scored his first goal. Shout out Rob Williams of Daily Hive because he pulled this, that Brisebois is the longest Canucks, a Canucks draft pick. It's the longest it's ever taken a draft pick to score his first goal in the NHL. Just awesome, awesome story. And I don't know if you remember, but when I wrote a Stanchies really early in the year, I had about 400 words dedicated to Brisebois being with the organization in the year 2033. So hey, who knows? We'll see. He signed the 2-year extension. He scored a goal. I've actually been impressed with him in all seriousness. I actually have liked Guillaume Brisebois' game. And Canucks need right-handed defenseman in the chat said, Guillaume Brisebois greater than OEL. And hey, it's hard to disagree with that. So that's where we're at the past couple days is where the Brisebois discourse is at an all-time high, Chris.
Yeah, it sure is. I mean, he's coming in. He's played all right. I was still a little surprised he got a contract before someone like Christian Wolanin did or even, you know, Noah Juulsen up to that point. I mean, I have a bunch of numbers to get to from this 5-game winning streak. But before we dive into that, we skipped it because I went a little long with my intro. 30 seconds a dog. Let's hear it, Quads. 30 seconds a dog because you haven't set yourself up for 30 seconds a dog yet.
Yeah, I don't want to keep talking about him. Like, some people are annoyed by it. Some people love it. There actually is somewhat of an update today. So we've crate trained him and he's got it down pat at night, which is great. But he's still having trouble during the day going down. Like, he still whines when he goes in the crate. Whines for about 5 minutes, which I guess it's no big deal, but we'd prefer it to just be he goes in and he's happy to be there. Obviously, that's the goal. So today we got one of these Kongs and we filled it with there's some kibble in there and there's this like spray stuff. And he's in there right now. And usually we would have to make sure he's sleeping during the show, but you can't hear him because he's happily just licking away at his Kong. So the Kong has been a very, very good help for us, and I'd recommend it for any puppy owners out there.
You know what I've seen that I find kind of interesting? I think this is a thing that dog owners are doing. It's like you freeze a bowl of food, and the dog has to, like, it's, you make, like, you know, you kind of, it's not just like throw a bunch of food and put water into it and freeze it. It's like they, you know, you put a bunch of different types of food into a bowl, and then you freeze a bowl, and they kind of lick away at it for hours, and it's like a bunch of food that they like. It's not just like, you know, the kibbles and bits or whatever you're talking about, the stuff that you feed your dog, like just, you know, you put some meat in there and all that stuff. I feel like that's kind of a fun thing to do, a fun little treat for the dog where you kind of freeze it in water and then give it to them.
Chris B in the chat also jumped in and said they sell stuffed animals that mimic the mama dog heartbeat that will knock him right out. He said he got one and it changed everything. So maybe we'll think about that. But
see, this is why we got to do the puppy chat because people in the chat, they got dogs. They can give you these great ideas here like Chris just did there. And Chris wants more puppy talk. So we'll have to see. We won't spend too much. That's why I said 30 seconds a dog. It's not too much off the top.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, anybody in the chat, you let me know because I think he's going to start barking soon here because I'm being told that his Kong is done. And I'm looking at him on the – I have him on the camera or whatever. I can see him and his Kong's done. So he's starting to bark a little bit, but within 5 minutes should be good. But anybody in the chat or Alex or whoever, you let me know if you can hear him. He shouldn't be too bad.
All right, anyways, let's get to it. I got some graphics to get up. We talked about the 5-game win streak. Let's get this this first one, because I was a little surprised on the expected goals for on the win streak. The 5-game win streak here, we got some stats to kind of dig into over these 5 games here. No, not yet. Yeah, Alex, come on now. 5-game win streak. There it is. See, Alex, it took him 8 minutes. He knows what he's doing. All right. Noah Juulsen leading the way with a 66% expected goals for. Obviously, he's playing with Quinn Hughes. They've been good at 5-on-5. But I tell you what, you got to give credit to Noah Juulsen. He's been put into a role that, listen, it's hard to say it's like an easy role, right, because you're playing top pairing minutes at 5-on-5, but you do get to play with Quinn Hughes. So as a defenseman, you can really simplify a lot of your things with what you're doing on the ice. And Noah Juulsen, I think, has done a pretty good job of that. I've seen some people get extremely hype over Noah Juulsen and the way that he's playing. Obviously had that big hit the other night. Everybody kind of went a little bit nuts at that point, getting really excited about him. And it's like, yeah, you know, he's doing what I think a lot of people who have been following Juulsen for the last couple of years would kind of expect. Like, he could slide into the NHL and play. I don't know if he's a guy that you want as your top six kind of going into the season, but I do think he's been playing pretty well in the role that he's been put in. And it's not like it's hard, because, like, I want to say it's an easy thing to play with Quinn Hughes, but it's a difficult ask. Like, it's easy to play with him, but it's a difficult ask to be put into that role and have to play in that position. I think Juulsen's done a fine job, especially over this 5-game win streak, as you can see here, leading the team in both Corsi and expected goals control.
Absolutely. And Chris, this is what I want to pose to you. Like, let's not forget that Noah Juulsen was a first round pick, right? Like, a lot of people forget that. He was a first round pick. He had that first round talent at one point in his career. Playing with Quinn Hughes, you just said it, it makes things easier. I think that's a fair thing to say. I don't think it's easy to play in the NHL. I don't think it's easy to play the minutes that they're asking of Noah Juulsen by any means. I'm not trying to diminish what he's doing, but it is easier to play with Quinn Hughes. And you look at the expected goals against of 1.8. People in the chat are seeing that and saying, what's OELs for all of his career, especially his Canucks career? I'd be very interested to see the numbers contrasting there. But on the topic of Noah Juulsen, Chris, I almost think it's like you come into the season and it's not quite the same plan that you had with Luke Shen, where coming into the year it was, oh, maybe OEL and Hughes can play on the right side, or, you know, Hughes can play with Myers. It ended up being Shen, and I don't think the Canucks wanted that coming into the year. And I think you have to go into next year with that same mentality, because I look at Juulsen, who's a guy, you know, somewhat similar to Shen, and maybe, just maybe, watching Shen play with Hughes for all this time, Juulsen's had a front row seat to see it. You can say, okay, maybe I know exactly what this guy needs me to be for a partner. And, you know, if Juulsen can hit as a guy who you can play on your first pair, because, like, let's just, for argument's sake, okay, let's say the Canucks add a NCAA free agent or whatever, okay? Or let's say they don't. Let's say they don't, because I'm sure in your NCAA update you'll have something on that, but let's say they don't. Let's say it's just Philip Roenick and Quinn Hughes. I really like the idea of those guys getting split up. And Chris, how good would it be if the Canucks could, one, split Roenick and Hughes and then put Juulsen next to Hughes? Like, that's found money for this team. And you look at a team like the Tampa Bay Lightning, and we've had this conversation with Harmon in the past as well, where it's not six elite guys. It's about three elite guys propping up players who historically were slightly above or right at replacement level defensemen, right? And that was the cup winning Tampa Bay Lightning that I'm talking about here. So I wonder if there's a lesson there, because obviously Juulsen's still young. Maybe there's still some growing he can do. You know, we know a lot of his problems have stemmed from injuries, right? So I'm interested to see kind of what happens with Juulsen moving forward. But again, if they can make it work even for a short period of time, I feel like it's found money.
Yeah, there's Bert back there. I can hear him. But yeah, I think Juulsen's had a tough one too, right? Like the eye injury. I mean, this isn't like a broken arm or a broken hand or something like that. Like the eye injury was very tough for him to come back from, and that's made it kind of difficult. I remember even seeing him come back and not, like, he would lay a big hit and tell guys like he couldn't fight. Like the eye, you know, he's really worried about that eye. So to see him now be playing, throwing some big hits, got in a fight the other day. I think another name that will be interesting to see what happens with is Filip Johansson, right? Like, do the Canucks think that he can play in the NHL next year? That could be something in the way that they're looking at the player coming over from the SHL who's playing a ton of minutes, right? Like, this is a guy who's playing like 23 minutes a night in the SHL. Those are big minutes at a pretty high level. So we will have to see what happens kind of with the right side there. Obviously, Hronek's going to be huge and hopefully only a couple weeks away from seeing that. But we'll have to see. Let's get to the points. The five games, the win streak right here, the points have been led by JT Miller with 8 points, 5 goals. Throughout this five-game winning streak, he's absolutely on fire, shooting the puck a good amount here. Andrei Kuzmenko, he's also got 5 goals. His individual expected goals, 2.34, so he's leading the way with that. But I do want to bring up a player who I actually have tonight for our Betway Bets of the Day. What's the deal with that? I don't do that on Twitter anymore. I've been gone for a couple days here. Now I just do it here on the show, right? That's the deal? That's probably an off-air conversation.
Right. That's right.
Anyways, all right, Anthony Beauvillier, can I bring this up? So over the five-game stretch here, he hasn't been putting up a ton of points. He's got 3 points over the five games. But look at this. Individual scoring chances for. He's got 18. That's leading the Vancouver Canucks. That's tied with Kuzmenko for that over this five-game stretch. But what I like is from Beauvillier is he's going to the dirty areas. He's leading this team, the only guy with double-digit individual high-danger shot attempts. He's got 11 of those over the last five games. So he's getting to the dirty areas. He's at least, you know, this is good process, right? I've been saying that for a long time, good process is going to bring some sort of results in the end. And for Beauvillier over his last five games to be leading this team with the individual high danger shot attempts, like that's impressive. That is good. I think he's going to start to find some bounces his way because for that, you put in good process. You're a team that's kind of expecting to get some good bounces over the final stretch of this season. I'd be watching for Beauvillier to kind of, you know, have one of these 2-goal games to kind of spring him a little bit here because he's putting in a lot of good effort and he's doing it in the dirty areas. I think he's going to end up being rewarded here from his play. What have you thought about Beauvillier in the last little bit here? I feel like he's all over the net, it feels like.
I feel like he's done the right things, but, you know, obviously the production seems to have taken a bit of a step back when he was first here. It looked like he was just going to outpace Bo Horvat the whole time he was here. It's still somewhat there. He's playing with Lewis Pettersson and he's looking good next to him. You know what I'm really curious about, Chris, is this whole north-south conversation because we kind of broke it down yesterday. Stuff about blowing the zone early was something we talked about and that sort of stuff, but I'm wondering if Beauvillier can become that real north-south guy that Tock is just going to love because, you know, Tock even brings up Lemieux, he brings up Gretzky, he says, you ask those guys who they want to play with, it's always north-south players. And for Petey, that's what Tock wants to see. So I'm curious if Beauvillier is actually a long-term fit there because I'm sure they'd love some north-south guys to play with Elias Pettersson. Kuzmenko is another guy. We've talked a lot about Kuzmenko. He's taken some big strides, I'd say, in his two-way play under Tocchet. And Beauvillier is one guy. Kuzmenko is obviously another. But there's one guy that I really want to talk about, Chris. You see it there on the screen, folks. 6 assists for Brock Besser here. Brock Besser's game. Tocchet spoke about him and had some really nice things to say about Besser and how he's kind of putting it all together. And I talked about it a little bit yesterday, but his play away from the puck seems to have really kind of, I don't even want to say it's there all of a sudden, but it's back to where it was. Like, we've seen it before from Besser, have we not? Like, we've seen the two-way play. We've seen him be hard on the boards and that type of thing. And that was just gone from his game this year, as was the production for a lot of the year as well. But I've been really impressed. I've been really impressed with Brock Besser lately. And he's a guy I think we absolutely need to be talking about.
Here's what I'll say about Brock Besser. What he's doing over the last little bit here, and I think that you could almost say, like, looking at the entire time under Rick Tocchet, like, I think Brock Besser is playing exactly what you signed him to do right now, right? He's not going out and being the best player on the ice very many nights. Like, he's just not. He's not going out there and dominating and single-handedly winning you games, but he is a player who's playing, like, to me, an effective top six player, right? Like, even over the last six games, you mentioned the six assists. I'd like to see him shoot the puck a lot more. Obviously, he's only got the five shots through his last five games here. We can see the stats up on the board. You want to see him shoot the puck a little bit more than that. But I do think there's some of that confidence coming back with at least him finding areas of the ice to shoot the puck. So that's been good to see for Brock Besser. But I think right now, yeah, he's not the sniper that's going to dominate on a first line. But to me, he's playing like a top six winger. Like, absolutely. He's absolutely raising his stock to go into the offseason here to see what happens. But through and through, what he's done under Rick Tocchet, I think he's been fine in the position of kind of looking at him as a top six forward. There's a lot of people in the chat talking about Ethan Bear. Let's touch on that real quick here. With Ethan Bear, there's not really been much news going on about Bear and his contract recently of late. I think that the fact that he's willing to sign a one-year deal, that's kind of the last thing we heard. That's what I think this is going to come down to, right? Like, Bear's going to get another year to be, you know, sign a one-year contract. And if the situation does play out where Hronek and Hughes aren't together, that's probably Bear's job for all of next season. And if you're doing something like that on a one-year deal, listen, you're going to play your heart out. You're going to try and be, you know, way harder. We see this in contract years, right? If he does this in a one-year deal, he's going to do his absolute best to be the top-performing player that he's been throughout his career. He's going to be able to play with Quinn Hughes throughout the season. I bet you have a very good year from Ethan Bear if he's on a one-year deal next year. And I think that's going to help the Canucks push towards a playoff spot, to be honest. Like, because I think you're going to get Bear absolutely at his best. I think you're going to get the best version of Ethan Bear you've seen over his NHL career, especially if he's on a one-year deal and he's playing with Quinn Hughes next year.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it goes back to what I was just saying about Juulsen probably isn't plan A, but he's a fine plan B if you're not playing Hughes with Hronek. And I think plan A, it has to be Ethan Bear, right? Like, those two have shown flashes. They've played under Tocchet together. Also on the topic of Ethan Bear, I just want to plug this. Our friend Big Mac, Ian McIntyre over at Sportsnet, friend of the show, fantastic, fantastic story about Ethan Bear and what he's recently gone through, birth of his child, just days after the passing of his five-year-old dog. His dog's only 5 years old. Bronco that passed away. Absolutely heartbreaking, but very, very good story from Ian McIntyre. IMAC knocked it out of the park. I would suggest everybody go read it, especially if you're going to comment on Bear missing an NHL game for his dog passing.
Yeah, excellent article by Big Mac over there, who, by the way, if people don't understand the Big Mac reference, that's from our Sportsnet days where we were in between commercial breaks and we're like, hey, I wonder how many times we can slip in Big Mac here in this interview with Ian McIntyre. And on the first one, like I think we like thanked him for joining us. And the first one, he's like, do you guys just call me Big Mac? And then, yeah, that segment went off the rails, as many of them did on the Sportsnet show. All right, you've covered it a lot this week. I know you're going to want this one. This is a graphic you love. Let's get the goalies up here over the five games here. This five-game win streak, the goalies have been great throughout, and by the way, all these stats here that we brought up from Natural Stat Trick. So let's get this. Thatcher Demko, a .934 save percentage. He's been excellent throughout this run. What are you seeing from Thatcher Demko that you... What's the most exciting thing about Thatcher Demko since he's come back here, Quads?
That he's playing like himself. He didn't look like himself this year. Like, let's be honest here. He didn't look like himself at the start of the year. And look, this team is not... not built to have a goaltender playing below average. And Demko was below average. Right now, he's above average. We need to find out where that middle level is for Thatcher Demko, because I'm not sure we've seen it, because I think he started to reach the mid-level. Like, he was just starting to find his game and reach that middle point where you're kind of steady right before going down with injury. I remember saying about a few of his starts right before that injury. I believe it was on December 2nd against the Panthers. Right before that injury, he started to look like he was really putting it together. So I was thinking, okay, well, he's going to find it eventually. I did worry when he went down that when he came back, he was going to have trouble, you know, finding that groove again. But ever since he's been back, Chris, you see it there, .934 save percentage, just fantastic. Absolutely dominant in the crease. I would say he's the driving force behind the Canucks wins. You know, no, Archer Seelovs, he's been fantastic as well, but come on, Thatcher Demko, he's been the Thatcher Demko that we are used to, And I think that that bodes really well going into next year. It really does, Chris. And this is something we talked about yesterday. I know you weren't on the show, but Talkit wants guys showing up early. That was an article written by Ben Kuzma where Talkit spoke about guys showing up months early. And some guys aren't even going to go home, it sounds like, this offseason. It sounds like, you know, Kuzmenko, Podkolzin, you would assume Kravtsov is a part of that. Staying out here. We saw Danila Klimovic do it last summer. Stayed out, worked out in Delta at Planet Ice. I think we're going to see that a lot. We're going to see that a lot. We're going to see a lot of players with that buy-in for next year and being here really, really early. And look, it bodes well. It bodes well that Thatcher Demko is playing like this right now. And I think all we're seeing, I've said it before, I'll say it again, is a healthy Thatcher Demko is an elite Thatcher Demko. So you're hoping that he has, you know, no setbacks going into the summer. And that he's able to kind of hit the ground running going into next year, because goodness knows this team absolutely needs him to be.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I'm at a point right now with this team specifically of just like, I'm just enjoying the good play, right? Like, there's nothing we can do from evaluating this team to make them tank any harder. They had that chance at the deadline. They clearly didn't. They clearly went to a retool. They want to, you know, make sure that getting next season started off with, you know, without a 7-game losing streak is kind of the point that they want to do. Like, I'm just enjoying the play, I guess, right now. Like, I am enjoying the team playing better. I'm enjoying seeing what it looks like under a healthy Thatcher Demko. I guess I'm drinking the Kool-Aid of this team being competitive next season already. And I don't know if I think I was last year, but I was also very, you know, I was holding back during the Boudreau run of thinking they were going to come in and dominate and play at that rate and be a playoff team for sure. Like, I feel better about this team going into it from the play that we've seen this year compared to the Boudreau bump last year, at least. So I'm at the point now where I am just kind of enjoying the team winning games. Like, the off season to me is when you can be critical, but you can't really go off on the team winning, right? Like, we can't say the players need to start losing games. That was on management at the deadline to do. That wasn't on the players on the ice to play. That was on management to make this team, put them in the best, you know, best spot to tank. They didn't do that. They improved. They improved their team at the trade deadline. Obviously, losing Bo Horvat a little bit before, you can argue that that makes the team worse, and I do think it does. But for the team, just for like this season going into next, they did make improvements at the deadline. Once Phil Peronic gets here, it's going to be another big boost to this team, specifically on the back end. I guess the worry is, we can get this one up, Alex, the reverse standings here. The Canucks can't catch the Red Wings, right? Like, that's the point that we're at right now with the reverse standings. We just do not want to see the Vancouver Canucks end up catching the Detroit Red Wings, who are a good handful of games ahead of the Vancouver Canucks here at this point. And I think if you're 6 points back and you catch that team, that's where it starts to get a little bit difficult here, where if you get out of that spot, I'm trying to get the graphic up here so I can get the numbers right. So they have a 5% chance right now to win the lottery, right? That's in the ninth spot. When you drop down to 10th, it drops down to 3.5%. That's the biggest drop off that you have kind of out of the top nine. So you want to finish in the top nine, bottom here. The Canucks, they've obviously been the best team. They've won 5 in a row on this. Their last 10, they have 7 wins. On the Tankathon website, they don't look very good, right? When you're talking about this team being able to tank. But it's still like they're not that far out of the conversation of getting into the top five either. You just really don't want to hit number 10 or further than that.
How many wins, Chris? How many wins until we start talking playoffs? Like,
no, you can't.
If this team, can't. I'd say after a 10-game win streak, I'm going to start saying, hey, if they win the rest of their games, what do they finish with, 95 points, which might actually do it with the Western Conference right now? They might actually do it. If they get to 95 points, playoffs, Chris, believe.
No, I'm not. What are you talking about? They're not going into the playoffs this year.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Benjamin, good comment here. Tank's not happening. This team is too good to lose, not good enough to win at all. Bingo. It's the worst spot to be in for a team, right? It's the worst spot. I mean, look at the Ducks and Blackhawks and Columbus. One of these teams is going to add Connor Bedard. Like, how great is that for an organization? It's because they've committed to it, right? They've committed to it. The Canucks haven't committed to a tank. They came into this season trying to make the playoffs, right? I don't think Chicago was doing that. I don't think the Ducks were doing that. I mean, Philly might have thought they were doing that, but that's why they just fired their GM last week. So, like, it's difficult for the Canucks. But as long as they don't, the mushy middle starts at 10 to me. Hey, let's not see the Canucks in the mushy middle, right? Stay at 9. At 9 or improve, because you can totally improve from here. You just got to start losing some games, but we'll see what happens. I mean, the players aren't going to go out there and try and lose. Like I said, I'm just enjoying the winning, but, like, I could do without any more 5-game win streaks the rest of the season. Like, you can cut that. Like, don't win 5 games in a row. Like, a couple wins here and there, make them exciting, make it fun, make me enjoy watching the Canucks, make the fans get a little bit more invested. But, like, let's cut it with the 5-game win streaks. Like, it's a little much, right? Like, you are still in the conversation to be able to win the draft lottery. Like, don't give yourself that many more 5-game win streaks and completely crap yourself out of that spot. Like, keep it, chill out. Like, win some games, but not too many.
Okay, when do we start this conversation about season tickets again, Chris? Because I'm with you. I'm with you that this team obviously needs to lose some games, and we enjoy the winning, sure. But in all seriousness, I think what we'd look for, right, is players aren't going to go out and try and lose. I think what we'd look for is maybe don't play the wheels off of Elias Pettersson, Quinn Hughes, and I even put Thatcher Demko in that conversation. Don't do that. Like, just make sure it's not going to happen and talked about, when there's a back-to-back. I think their back-to-back is in April. They have one left on the year, I think maybe two. Talkett spoke about it and he said he's not going to play back-to-backs, but I don't know. If he's starting multiple starts, I'd like to see at least Seelovs get another one. Hell, even Delia, like, give Delia a start here or there, right? You don't need to win all of these games. Here's what I'd say, Chris. Let the team go. Like, 5-game win streak, Talkett's not going to walk in and say, okay, we're on a 5-game win streak, but you know what? This podcast that I listened to told me that I should stop playing you guys as much, so we're going to roll 4 lines and we're going to do this. And Demko, you're actually not starting tonight.
Bingo. It's about time somebody tunes in here.
But what might happen, and what I would more like to see, and I think is more reasonable of an ask, is, after one or two more losses, right? After one or two more losses, then you say, okay, now we're going to really, we've built some good habits. We've shown the renewing season ticket holders and the fans that we can win some games. Down the stretch here, we've shown that we can do it when we need to next year. That's what's going to be the big question for this team. But I think after one or two more losses, then, roll it back a little bit. Roll it back and maybe don't treat every game like it's game 7.
Yeah, because you're still on team playoffs here. I see what you're up to. You want the 25-game win streak. We'll see about that, Quads. We'll see. All right, let's get into McDonough. Aiden McDonough here. He has landed. He's with the Canucks practicing today. He's going to wear number 25 for the Vancouver Canucks. New jersey just dropped. They tweeted out yesterday. McDonough going to wear 25. No surprise here. And he's with the Canucks now, skated with them this morning. He's arrived. Here it is. Dan Murphy tweeted it out. Aiden McDonough on the ice. Doesn't look like he's going to end up playing tonight. I know that Murph, I think, tweeted out exact same lines as last game, but no Aiden McDonough. But I tell you what, You see a loss against the Coyotes, who Canucks need right-handed D has been talking about. They've been playing good hockey lately. Also predicted a 1-0 game. I think your username says it all. I'd be surprised if the Canucks only give up one tonight. But I think McDonough's got to get in here pretty quick, and I think it will be when this team loses. You can't really do it off of a 5-game win streak. That's just too tough. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe you can. It's not like this team's pushing for the playoffs unless you're in Quad's brain thinking about it. But I think McDonough should get right into the lineup as soon as possible. I think he should play as many games as possible, see what he looks like. I don't think that it's like completely out of bounds to take a player out of the lineup that's on a 5-game win streak. It's the Canucks win streak shouldn't matter. It doesn't matter at this point in the season. You're at the game, like, games don't matter. They don't.
I'd say that it kind of goes back to, and I don't know if you heard this conversation. Did you hear what Talkett had to say about this? Because he was asked about this. I'll ask you so I don't just repeat myself if you and the listeners have all heard it. Do you know what Talkett said? Because he was asked about this.
No, last couple days I haven't listened to everything.
Okay, so what Talkett said was basically that, you know, I'm not going to take a guy out. It's hard to take a guy out when the team's winning and that type of thing. That's kind of what Talkett spoke about was, we aren't going to just take a guy out for the sake of getting McDonough in the lineup. But he obviously wants to get him into a game. So I think it's similar to the, rolling four lines and starting the tank for real is when you see, when you see the team lose a game, maybe that's the time where you can shake things up. And you're not going to take a guy out if he has one bad game. That's the quote from Talkett. But sometimes if you see a little bit of consistency in playing poorly is what he meant, then maybe we'll see McDonough get in the lineup. I'd like to see him in. I'm with you. Like we've talked about in the past couple shows, but I really, really would like to see. McDonough get a shot in a top six role. Like I'd like to see him with Miller. I'd like to see him with Patterson. I'd like to see him on the second power play unit in that spot where he's so successful, right? Like his shot is really good. I've watched a lot of McDonough tape over the past couple days. I'd say I probably know more about him than you do at this point.
All right. Watch your lip over there. Here's the thing about McDonough and playing him. What's the thing we've heard so much since Rick Tocchet has got here? What is this season? It's an extended training camp. So it's not like you aren't counting the points this year and adding them up for next season to say like, oh, that's going to help us get into the playoffs. Like, listen, some good games are going to be there, but hey, if you have something with McDonough, that's going to help the team even more next year than you really think. If he's the type of player who really fits a Rick Tocchet style of play, hey, maybe he does. Like, you know, these captains from the NCAA team, they know what to do for the team in the end. Like, I think going back and being, you know, wearing the C4 Northeastern was big for McDonough in a lot of development things. Clearly, like, improving physically was a lot of the stuff that he wanted to work on, the skating stuff specifically, like you asked him in his media availability. But at the same time, I really think you can learn a lot about just like being a leader, being a teammate when you actually have the C on your chest. And that's what I think McDonough did a lot of last year. And that was something that I've had conversations with him about. And I think that him being a captain this year at Northeastern, I really think helped his game just kind of like mentally mature, right? Like I think when you talk about a player in development, there's a lot obviously about the physical things. Like, is he going to be fast enough to keep up? Like that's the thing that always gets brought up. I really think maturity is a huge thing when you go from, you know, a junior league or the NCAA and jump to pro. That's the big question. Like, that's why Danilo Klimovic struggled last year, because he wasn't physically, like, he was physically mature, but it was obviously such a big transition for him. Not necessarily, like, mental maturity with him, because I really think that there was just, like, an adjustment period for him mentally living in Canada and how difficult that adjustment had to be for him. But I just think, like, with a specific player like McDonough, I do think that the mental maturity had to have gained from what he did last year at Northeastern. So I'm 100% on board. Get him on PP2. Get him playing with JT Miller. Heck, some time with Elias Pettersson. Just try it, right? Because this is an extended training camp. That's what we've heard. Over the past couple of months, I've just decided, okay, I'm just going to listen to what is said by management and the coaching staff, and that's what you have to judge them by. They're retooling. This is a training camp. This season doesn't really matter for wins and losses. So I think let this be the extended training camp type of thing. Play McDonough as soon as possible. Even if you win tonight, play in the next game. He's there. He's practicing. Get him in the lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. And Chris B with a question about McDonough. Presumably it's for me. He said, what are the odds McDonough makes the NHL out of camp next year? I would say extremely low. Let's not forget Ilya Mikheyev, right? Like, Ilya Mikheyev's looking to be healthy. The Canucks have a lot of wingers. Unless they make a boatload of trades this offseason, McDonough's starting in Abbotsford. And hey, I wrote about this as well, and I think someone pointed it out. I can't read it fast enough to give you a shout out, but someone brought up Mackenzie Braid, skating coach out in Abbotsford. You know, McDonough's going to get to be with his best friend. He called him his best friend on the call as well, Jack Rathbone, next year in Abbotsford. And that skating coach, Mackenzie Braid, is going to hopefully do wonders. Like, if you're going to develop, if you're Aiden McDonough and you're going to develop into an NHL player, your skating needs to improve. And he knows that. Like, I asked him point blank about that, Chris, on the call that we had, the Zoom call that we did with McDonough, and he said, like, you know, it's going to be something I'm working on my whole career. But he sounded like very dedicated to working on it. It wasn't a deflection. It wasn't, you know, well, I think I can get by with what I'm at right now and my shot is good enough, that type of thing. It was none of that. It was, yeah, my skating needs work and it's going to be something I work on for the rest of my career. I'm really excited to see what he's able to do next year in Abbotsford, but I don't think it's going to be at the NHL level.
Yeah, and I see a lot of people bringing up Ratu in the chat as well. Tell you what, I think McDonough moves better than Ratu, specifically, like, actually pace-wise. Like, full speed, maybe you can get a little bit more of Ratu, but just pace of play, I think McDonough's at a higher level right now anyways. But Ratu's still 2 years younger, a lot of time to work. And, yeah, the HL team has been a lot of fun to watch. I was so mad. They had the game of the year. What was that, Sunday at 4 o'clock? That was right after I tested positive. But I was really excited to go up to that game. The best game of the season. Went to like 8 rounds of the shootout. Both goalies were unreal. Silov's had a shutout. That got burned with about 10 seconds left in the game. He was running. He had a hell of a game. It was turning into an arty party out there. But really good stuff for the Abbotsford team. They're back in action on Friday. So tomorrow night, they're back in action out there. Abbotsford, they've been a lot of fun playing like good hockey. Playing some good hockey out there.
Preview of that Abbotsford series up now on Canucks Army, courtesy of Cody Sievertson. Go check it out, folks. Also, one last thing, Chris. Actually, no, we'll save it. Well, no, I'll just quick shout out. We talked about the Canucks, how they've poised themselves to kind of go all in next year, and they're looking for a playoff spot. They should go all in, and that's something Lachlan's working on right now. But this idea of the defense, right? Like, the only way the Canucks can retool the defense, and this was written by Noah Strang over at Canucks Army. Really, really good article.
Yeah, the chat loves, you noticed that? The chat loves Noah Strang. Chat's big on Noah.
Who doesn't? And Lachlan, shout out Lachlan as well, just wrote that brief history of Jordan Binnington being a giant baby. That's up at Canucks Army as well. But what Noah wrote, I just want to quickly shout it out because it's a good take, I think. The Canucks can't possibly retool the defense for next year without an OEL buyout. Like, they have to buy out OEL this offseason because, look, the principle of it, Chris, is, can you get more value with the saved cap space? Like, you're going to have to pay someone to play in OEL's spot, right? Like, that's the logic. Whenever you buy someone out, you have to take that in consideration of, okay, well, we're going to have to pay someone. So does it really make sense to buy this contract out? Because is all the cap space that we're going to be saving, is it all going to get burned on someone else? I think right now we're seeing that OEL was playing at either replacement level or below replacement level. And I know a lot of analytics pointed that out, but I think anybody, regardless of how you evaluate hockey, like, we're seeing it with the eye test, we're seeing it with everything. Like, Christian Wilanen, I would rather have in the lineup over him. Guillaume Brisebois is making a strong push to be higher on the depth chart than OEL. I think it's at the point now where the only option for the team in the future, with partly because of what they did at the deadline, you know, Roenick and Petey are going to need new contracts after next season. This team really does need to poise themselves to not only make the playoffs next year, but make some sort of strong push, right? Like, maybe don't mortgage the entire future, but as much as all in you can, you have to at this point. I don't know if you can make this team a playoff team next year without an OEL buyout. I don't think it's possible.
You know what goes well with an OEL buyout in the Canucks management view, I guess, is trading that first round pick too. I mean, that's the scary thing. That's the thing. Like, it's, you don't know. Like, the offseason, there's going to be some major moves, right? The buyout's a huge thing. Trading one of your top players potentially in Brock Besser is a big thing. JT Miller market. Like, there's a lot of different options for the Canucks. At least that's exciting for us to come in and do this show and chat about this team. At least there, you know, it's going to be, there's going to be a bunch of crap to go through this offseason. That's for damn sure. There's going to be a lot of stuff coming up there.
Yeah.
I know. Absolutely. Listen, okay, the chat, I'm just saying that, like, the chat, I want the first round pick more than anybody, okay? I want some damn prospects to cover. I'm just saying, things are trending that way. Prepare yourself. Don't get completely shattered to pieces when it happens. Just have it in the back of your mind. It could happen.
Okay. NCAA update. Get to it. Let's go. Yeah. And Betway, and we're out of here.
My voice is, I'm losing it here a little bit, so I'm going to try and just get this. We're going to have to close out here pretty quick. I'm losing it. Can we get the pairwise rankings up here, Alex? Here we go. NCAA stuff. Okay, listen. This is a big weekend. Sunday is going to be selection day. Here are your top 16 teams. There's a lot of teams in the mix here. Listen, there's some guys from Western Michigan to watch. There's some guys from Cornell to watch. Like, depending on how their this weekend goes for them, this is a big weekend, but it feels like next weekend, that's going to be the bigger one, okay? There's going to be a lot of teams eliminated, not necessarily on this Monday, but the following Monday. Let me check my calendar. What day is that? So the 27th, I'd expect that to be March 27th. I'd expect that to be a pretty big signing day. Minnesota Mankato, listen, they're going to go on a run. Don't expect anything until April for these guys like Livingstone and Hirose. Don't expect anything till April. They're going to be dominant. Real good chance to win the NCAA championship this year. So if you're excited for Livingstone playing 10 games for the Canucks, throw it in the trash. I don't think he's going to be ready until April. You just hope that he ends up choosing. Let me mentioned the name that I've brought up a little bit on Twitter last little bit that I heard from. I got these agents calling me trying to tell me stuff. I got freaking COVID, man. I can't be talking on the phone for 10 minutes here. So I've been hanging up on them all week long here. But the name I keep hearing, Max Andreev, who's also goes by Maxim Andreev. These Russians, they just throw Y's out of their name like it's freaking going out of style sometimes. We've seen it with Zlodiev or Zlodiv now. Anyways. He's a center from Cornell. He's been in the United States since he was 16. Maybe the best defensive center in the NCAA. Listen, the stats aren't everything. This is why you don't just go on Elite Prospects and think you know a player, okay? This is the best defensive center in the NCAA right now. Max Andreev, like 60-plus percent in the faceoff dot. Penalty killing ace in the NCAA. He's a pure center. You watch this kid, plays really good for Cornell, and just defensively the best I've seen in the NCAA. I thought he could have came out last year and been in a similar boat. This year he's got another year under him. I'd expect to see some teams interested in him. Might be able to even get this guy on an AHL ATO, get him down in the AHL for a playoffs run, because he's not a highly touted guy. He's more of a, you know, just wants to get into pro hockey. So I think with those guys, you can give him that ATO, kick in the entry-level contract on July 1st, get him down to Abbotsford, you know, help kind of shore up that center depth in the organization, and still pretty young kid, I think 22, 23 years old kind of thing, but very good defensively. Watch for Mondays to be the signing days. I brought up the 27th. You might even see some on the 20th as well after Selection Sunday this week. So that's what we got. But Max Andreev, heard the name, heard him with the Canucks. Watch it. Watch for this guy. And I like the idea. I like the player type, right? Defensive center. Keep an eye on this guy.
NHL ready?
No.
Sorry, I mean, cough.
I know. Sorry. That's what I'm saying. My voice is going here. But defensively, you love what you can see, but you got to see him play pro hockey in the AHL first before you can think NHL.
Sure. Okay. Betway, get us out of here. Or you know what? Alex, pull it up. I'll read it. Go, it's okay.
No, and he's,
Chris,
and,
you've done more than enough.
No. Thank you. Everybody in here, I don't think he's a Milstein guy. I don't think he's a Milstein guy. Just saying.
Okay. Betway, pull it up, Alex. Let's go. All right, Betway. Our bets tonight brought to you by our friends over at Betway. Anthony Beauvillier, anytime goal scorer. Canucks are in Mullet Arena tonight. There's a little preview for Mike Gould up on Canucks Army right now, who attended a game at Mullet Arena and knows all about the facility and all that sort of stuff. Plus 187 odds. A $10 bet will get you $28.75 on the return there in our second bet. Vancouver Canucks to win on the money line, over 6.5 total goals, and JT Miller and Barrett Hayton to both score a goal, plus 1600 odds. $10 bet there returns you $170. 19 plus to play. If you choose to play, please play responsibly. That's all for today, folks. Chris, fantastic job. I know your voice is hurting, so I'll close it out. It was nice to have you back, my friend. I'll close it out then. Do you have any parting thoughts?
Yeah, just everybody that reached out. I got a lot of Instagram DMs and Twitter DMs and everything. Appreciate that. So happy to see everybody here live in the chat. And the numbers look pretty good. Like, I was curious if we were going to have, if nobody was going to be here on Canucks Army, but nice to see everybody in the chat. Love seeing how active this is. We're super proud of, you know, I don't know how much time you spent on this on Tuesday, but super awesome that Canucks Army now 1.2, what do you say, 1.2K subscribers? Or is that a RuneScape turn? I've had a lot of RuneScape turns the last little bit. All right, 1,200 subscribers. Shouts to everyone that has joined in here on the Canucks Army account for that. Been awesome to see. You mentioned it, Coyotes tonight, 7 o'clock. They've been playing good hockey. Let's put an end to this win streak. That's how I feel. But shout out, just thanks to see everybody involved in the chat here, saying nice things about it, about me returning. Pumped for that. Hopefully feel even better tomorrow, and we'll see where it goes from there. But, yeah, thanks to everyone for all the support and being such good people in the chat here today.
All right, we'll close it out there. For our technical producer, Alex Lard, and my co-host, Chris Faber, as you see the tank on the screen, folks, my name's Dave Quadrelli. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of The Canucks Conversation.
There it is. Send them out, boys. Send them out.
Thanks for listening to Canucks Conversation. Hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
How about keep it to a thank you, Jim?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code MOM.